Gary Meyer on WGN, the Super G. You can text me at 24720. Ronald McDonald has been given a makeover. The new Ronald sports a red blazer, red bow tie, red and white striped rugby shirt, yellow vest, and yellow cargo pants. His hair is more coiffed. His vibe is less creepy.
He's not a clown anymore, then.
Well, I'm looking at a picture of the makeover, and it doesn't look that different to me.
So he has the paint on his face.
Yeah. It's not like he went.
Well, I thought he just, the way they're talking.
Clown make him, no. It says it but he looks less clown-like, but I'm looking at a picture, and it doesn't look any less clown-like to me.
Does he have the giant shoes?
Yes. The shoes were not changed.
And the yellow.
May I suggest something?
Oh, here we go.
A monocle. How about a monocle?
A monocle.
Monocles have always marked people out as beyond the crowd, slightly different.
On Mr. one hand, Peanut says, don't you get into my territory, mister.
On one hand, you have the Prussian officer. On the other, you have the effete English lord. And then you also have the New York and London lesbian of the 1920s. That's a good look. And I think Ronald needs a little hipster thing. And one of those hats that they're wearing now.
Which one?
Well,
the
whatever.
Backwards
that
ones?
Fedora.
Pork pie.
Oh, yeah, the little pork pies. Yeah.
Whatever that is, that's the new hipster thing. Maybe a little facial hair. Doesn't he? Well, it looks like he's got a goatee because his
the
mouth
red.
Is so red, but maybe a little stubble.
He's got a rugby shirt.
Well, it looks like his typical Ronald shirt, but I guess sales have been off a little bit, and that's why they've done this. And I know Taco Bell has a campaign where they've gone and found people whose real name is Ronald McDonald, and they put them on their commercial.
But, I mean, do you tamper with an icon like that?
And does he drive sales?
I don't.
One way or another? He's been around a long time. I understand that.
I don't think people even think of Ronald McDonald anymore.
I think they're using him more as a sort of to market their charitable stuff and their cancer homes and things like that.
They have their Ronald McDonald house.
Yeah, they use him more that way.
That's been mostly his function. But in this article, they're associating the makeover with, well, got to get the sales up.
Because, I mean, they don't have any cups anymore. I mean, I remember when I was a little kid, you'd go walk in there, they'd have a hand puppet, a little plastic hand puppet of Ronald, and there'd be cups with Ronald's face on it. I mean, you don't see that anymore.
They've gotten away from the playground in front, too, right? You don't see many
not
of those.
Not as many as they used to.
What about Mayor McCheese and Hamburglar?
They don't really use those, kids.
Are they not?
Not in the commercials.
Important.
That used to be fun. Hamburglar, Mayor McCheese, Grimace, all those guys.
Quarter pound head, whatever.
Quarter pound.
I don't know if that was a character, but they should have.
I think he's sitting next to you.
Hi-o.
Well, you couldn't give Grimace a makeover because he's not wearing any clothes.
He's purple. He's like Clark with a baseball hat.
Clark, the mascot, the Cubs mascot. All right. Well, the makeover is complete. We'll see if that does any good.
Although, you know, McDonald's is so far ahead of everybody. Even if they lose.
I know, but
they have like 50% of the market share. It's crazy.
But the competition is such that doesn't matter. If their sales are down, it says 1.7% drop in sales in U.S. same store sales.
I mean, that's probably billions, right?
Probably.
1%, yeah. But still, in terms of market share, they really have.
They are
a huge
head and shoulders above the second person.
It's not
second
like
franchise.
Yeah, it's not like Coke and Pepsi that they're all fighting for that 1%. They're that close, type of thing. McDonald's is just
like monocle. I'm suggesting a monocle.
When I was going through some of the bins, I found a really cool Mr. Peanut dish, which was really cool. Mr. Peanut's in the middle, and there's a bunch of peanuts on the around the rim, and Mr. Peanut's in the middle. Very cool. I'm not getting rid of that.
You stated on the Airstream that you have reorganized the basement and you now have 70 bins filled with various
things,
artifacts.
Yeah.
What about just loading all that up on a truck and going to that antiques roadshow show?
I know, but what do I do? I'm going to throw 35 bins on there?
No, pick out the stuff you think has the most value and then see what they say.
Yeah, I was thinking of actually going to one of these.
Would you be surprised to learn that the Mr. Peanuts plate is worth 45 cents? That's what I feel.
It's too cool. The Mr. Peanut dish is very cool. I would not. And I also found this Mr. Peanut maker, peanut butter maker. You throw peanuts in his hat, and you crank this crank, and then peanut butter comes out of somewhere. I'm not sure where.
Actual peanut butter.
Well, crushed peanuts.
Okay.
Like a paste of some sort.
I hope it's not much below the breastbone, because I wouldn't eat it then. That seems wrong.
I'm afraid to use it, but I think it works.
All right, put that on the list of stuff for the Antiques Roadshow. See what any of this junk's
worth.
Yeah,
I'm afraid I got so much. I have cool stuff, but I don't think it's very
well
expensive.
Why don't you explain the cool stuff then?
Oh! You don't think the Mr. Peanut thing is cool?
That regurgitates crushed peanuts?
I found this really neat thing that I put on my mom had one of those Mad Men liquor carts, which are really cool. I like that. So I have a liquor cart, even though I'm not a big drinker. But there was this mini cart that I found that had glasses that said highball on them. And it had how you make a highball on the glass.
Wow. Those are nice.
Yeah, and it had little shot glasses. Then it had three little holders for gin, bourbon, and scotch. It was like a one little. It was like a tabletop.
Because your parents were major lushes, right?
I guess. But it was really.
They were inside the.
But it was
John Barleycorn all the time.
Well, I'm sure they were. You know, back then everybody used to entertain.
Right. You always had a highball when you had company.
Yeah. My parents had highball glasses. Then they had like a dressed woman, like a Playboy woman, on the cup. The cup was surrounded, except in the back of it was a keyhole.
Oh.
And you'd look through the keyhole, and the woman was naked from behind.
Boy, you'd live for those moments.
Over and over.
I had a screwdriver.
As a nine-year-old, are you kidding me?
Yeah. I had the Playboy naked lady screwdriver. You tipped it over, and the dress fell off.
Right. They were popular. Pens and stuff were, you tilted it, and there went the clothing.
Yeah, it was cool.
All us girls had were that. Those drunks who would go potty into guys' glasses on the bar.
Oh, those are nice.
Those cute dispensers.
I had a guy. Yeah, my dad had a guy because he had a small little bar in their den, and it was battery operated. It was a guy who had a barrel around him, and so you hit the button and you filled him up with liquor like a shot, and he had this barrel and his head looked one way, looked the other way, and then he bent back, and relieved himself in the shot glass.
Sweet.
He was not anatomically correct because I looked.
As we say, the good old days. Here's Leslie. Louisville Slugger, the official bat of Major League Baseball, has been making professional bats since 1884 AD. They have just released the Wrigley Field 100th Anniversary full-size laser-engraved two-tone bat. The Wrigley 100th Anniversary bat, made with two primary Cubs colors, red around the handle and cubby blue around the barrel. The historic bat has the Wrigley Field 100th Anniversary logo and ballpark facts laser engraved with hand-painted white fill, giving a stunning look to the red and blue bat. The bat is limited to 5,000 individually numbered pieces, sells for $129.95. Call Big Time Bats now at 866-480-BATS. Louisville Slugger and Wrigley are two names associated with baseball for over 100 years. Call Big Time Bats now, 866-480-BATS, or see this and other great baseball collectibles at BigTimeBats.com. The Wrigley Field 100th Anniversary Bat, officially licensed by Major League Baseball. I got this text to 24720. It says, please address the Cubs cake. Well, the Cubs cake controversy is that 400-pound cake that was made by the cake boss and then driven here from the East Coast for yesterday's festivities, was, I guess, on display near Wrigley Field by the Captain Morgan Club, and then they took it to the Field Museum for a charity event last night, and then it ended up in the garbage.
Oops.
And I guess there's some brouhaha about why did this happen, but when you think about it, what are they supposed to do with this cake? It is a spoilage thing. Who's going to eat it after it's been trucked all over the place and people have been hovering over it for hours? What are you going to do with it?
I'm sure the fonda was still good.
The fonda?
The fonda.
Fondant.
There's a picture that was taken of it in the dumpster, and now that's circulating all over the place. During the streaming portion of my show today, somebody said, well, there's another 100 years of bad luck because that cake has become the goat of the 21st century.
Now the cake boss is the new goat.
Now we have to let the cake boss in, make sure that juju is corrected.
Ticking off an Italian from New Jersey? I don't know.
Well, look at it this way. They have not won since the cake was destroyed.
I don't know if he is Italian, but...
He is. But, yeah, they've lost two games in a row.
I'm assuming this happened after,
yesterday's
game. So it's one game.
They have lost every game since then.
Well, look, you could,
one game.
I can, you know, if you're a corporate type and you're thinking, if we feed this to people and they get sick,
well, yes,
that's bad
think
news.
About it. There's only so much you can do with this cake.
Right.
And if it was on display earlier in the day, it's been out in the elements for several hours already.
And parts of it were not edible.
Well,
so what are you going to do with this?
The unedible parts, that's like plywood and stuff they use to, or styrofoam, you know, to get elevation.
I mean, sure, third base is angel cake.
Right.
You could grab that. But, I mean, aside from that, how do I know?
By the way, that was our code in high school. Third base, angel cake. You got angel cake. You got angel cake.
But they should have found a nicer way to bury it.
I don't even.
The Cubs statement said, kind of laid it on the field museum. They wish they'd gotten rid of it in a different way.
I think the Cubs brass were busy. They had this big charity event at the field museum. What are they supposed to do? I don't think they're there for the cleanup. I'm going to take a wild guess. I don't even take samples at grocery stores. You see these samples set up on a table? I've seen people put their big, dirty meat hooks in, say there's a container of orange slices.
Right.
I'm thinking, oh, man, I don't want to taste that.
Right, and I go shopping when they put those out.
At my local grocery store, they had chips and dip.
Yeah,
that's... And that seemed very...
Think about it.
There's triple dipping going
on. Stand there for 5 minutes off to the side and watch what people do. And they touch everything.
Nobody dies. I mean, we've been doing that for centuries. And
okay. I mean, have at it.
Before the Seinfeld episode about the double dip, everybody double dipped.
Seinfeld is right, though.
I graze until I'm full at Costco.
Seinfeld is right about what?
They're right in that show. You don't want to be touching chips.
I understand that, but I think we all did that before anybody pointed it out.
Well, maybe, but I mean, the one thing I'd say about the cake is that if you saw the way it kind of looked after all those hours, there were a couple of people that sent me pictures of it. It looked like it was starting to sag a little bit. I don't know.
Okay.
No, the one thing I'd say, though, is...
Then it really looked like Wrigley.
Well, yeah.
The one thing
I'd say, though, is wouldn't you, if you're the Cubs, just to avoid this mess, like dispose of it in a place that's less public? It's like when the Ron Santos stuff got thrown in the dumpster. You know, people walked by, they saw that, and it's easily avoidable.
This whole operation, this organization just has this weird atmosphere around it. They can't get a break for anything.
But the Cubs didn't throw the cake out. The Field Museum did.
Right. But the fact is, they're going to get tagged for it because it's part of what they were doing last night.
Now, the Field Museum, if it's not bones related, Sioux or dinosaur, they don't care about it.
No.
Get rid of it.
They should have taken it to the Native American village they've got at the Field Museum.
Right. Set it up there.
Right.
That's 100 years.
Right.
And I'm not sure that stuff's a lot older, but still.
A couple of those guys might have been at the first game.
And didn't we say that Wrigley Field was buried on an Indian burial ground?
Well, I think it's a seminary, right?
Oh, right.
Not a cemetery, a seminary.
Yeah.
They got to tilt it up and see what's underneath because there's something emanating that is just making things difficult. This is the Super G. 312-981-7200. Andy, what's on your mind?
Well, actually, it's Angie, but...
It's what?
Mythbusters have Angie with
okay.
a G.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But it's okay. But with the George double dipping thing, they actually cited that in the Mythbusters episode where they busted that. So that's actually no longer a valid excuse.
It's double dipping.
I know, and it's honestly, I think it's impolite, but it's not going to kill you.
Okay.
But
you have to admit there are a lot of cooties out there, and you know some people just don't wash their hands very often.
But your cooties...
Well, that's more of a problem. But on another note, also as a certified cook, you have to get a sanitation thing for that. And you when a cake, even if it's a cake and it's covered in fondant and stuff like that, if it's been out there for several hours unrefrigerated, not only is that part of the problem, but... Think about it. When you breathe, you're exhaling, like, aerosolized saliva, and people have been...
Caller, 312-591-7000. We'll get a pair of tickets to the Northside versus Southside baseball game, Wrigley Field, May 6th, courtesy of Allstate, Chicago's own good hands. 25th caller, 312-591-7000. The Cubs-Sox game, May 6th at Wrigley. Two tickets. I was thinking during the break, on the heels of this cake being thrown away yesterday, the Wrigley Field cake. First of all, let's establish it was commissioned by the Ricketts, or did this cake guy just do it on his own?
I think that they had commissioned it.
Because they showed it everywhere.
Yeah, but
they
maybe.
Showed it at Wrigley? They showed it at
their benefit. Why not? It was a nice cake.
Yeah, Brandon Campbell talked to Buddy yesterday, and he says the Cubs approached him, so.
Okay, so they did commission it. Yeah. There's no baker in this area that does that kind of thing?
Well, he is the celebrity.
He's the boss. Yeah.
Okay, but he had to drive at 400 miles.
That's their whole gig, yeah.
So there's 8 to 10 hours of it in the back of a van.
You know what, though, Gary? Had anyone around here, no matter how good they are, made that cake, it wouldn't have gotten nearly the buzz or publicity that...
No?
Although we used to have two sisters used to have a place that burned down a couple of years ago that were very well known. And in the whole nation.
And they did that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to total up in my head all of the major events in modern history at Wrigley that have gone south. Think about this. I mean, really, when you start thinking about it, the first night game, God said, nope, not going to have that. That bad storm we got.
Yeah.
Sammy Sosa, the cork in the bat. Of course, the Bartman thing, we're 5 outs away from going to the World Series. That went south. The whole, we can't get a scoreboard to save our life, a Jumbotron because of the rooftop owners.
Then the game earlier that day that they lose before the cake got thrown out.
Yes, the 100th birthday celebration.
Game.
They're winning in the 9th, 2 outs, and they lose. Isn't it getting kind of scary? Isn't there some situation where you go, okay, I believe you now, there is bad juju, we got to do something? Even if you're a Cubs purist, don't you start thinking, wait a minute, how can every major event go south?
I wonder if a Sox fan threw it out. Maybe the guy that from the Field Museum.
That worked at the Field Museum or just went over there and tossed it. Yeah. But really, think about it. All the major events associated with the team have had something weird happen.
Everybody has a bad century.
That's right.
Okay?
Yeah, look at it that way. What about eating birthday cake when someone blows out the candles and they spit half their lungs on it?
That's true.
Yeah, you still eat it.
We eat so many things with germs, it's not even funny.
Gary, do you realize the hours and hours of work, not to mention time driving it here, that went into that cake? That's from Kathy. Yeah, okay. I work surveillance loss prevention for a local grocery chain. And as far as eating samples that the grocery store puts out, I've seen some things that would curl your hair. Customers pick up samples with their hands and then put them back.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what people do. They don't care.
What you have to do is just wait for the person that's, like, when she
first
he or
brings
she
it out.
Pulls it out of the little cooker or whatever they're doing.
Have you ever tasted fondant? Yuck.
Oh, it looks terrible.
It's like the
cement
of
the cake.
It's kind of like, yeah, high. It's
a frosting.
It's frosting on steroids.
Yeah, it's a solid. It's more of a
sheet of frosting that you can lay over the
top
of the
cake. Well, didn't you say, how much did you say of that cake wasn't even edible?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought you had a percentage.
They said parts of it were inedible. Which parts, I don't know.
It's the infrastructure.
I'd hate to have half the scoreboard in my pie hole and then be told, wait a minute, that's not edible.
Your homework is to watch a Cake Boss episode this weekend because then you'll understand more.
But what do I need to understand?
Well, just the way they build it, what's inedible and how big the guy is and all that. He used to do shows. My family went to see him at a theater in Waukegan because he would do road shows with his cakes.
But I don't think that's a cake if it's not all edible. I mean, they have like screwdrivers and hammers and saws, and it's like you're building this thing, and if that's not edible, then how is that a cake?
So you would withdraw the official cake declaration? Is that what
I don't really.
I don't think they're built to be eaten. They're built to be looked at
as showpieces.
Although some of these people that order these wedding cakes from these cake bosses, they obviously hand out. Those aren't as big as this thing. It's 400 pounds.
But when they build these
which
things,
is what you would have been if you ate any of it.
You could see, you notice that 3/4 of the cake is not edible. It's mostly all this construction that they're building.
Right. It's just on the list of other weird things that have happened concerning the Cubs. Let's leave it at that. After I get a little traffic here from Leslie and some important messages, by the way, no Dean this week. He is on assignment. I'll tell you how you can walk your goldfish. Finally, the people who go, what does a goldfish do? It just sits there. Now you can walk it. And I'll tell you how. Here's Leslie. 312-981-7200. Mike, what's on your mind?
Gary, how are you?
Good.
You're talking about this. You're talking about this cake debacle, and my daughter was on the Bozo Circus and played the buckets about 15 or 16 years ago when she was a young girl, and one of the prizes was a cake, I believe, for their next birthday, and it was from a bakery in Chicago on somewhere, but I don't know where they gave you a coupon for it. So why couldn't that baker, since the Cubs are so closely associated with WGN, find out who it was and make a cake and hand it out to everyone who was at the game? Just make a giant or several cakes, cut it in little pieces, and give it away instead of it becoming a problem.
I don't know how close the Ricketts are to WGN TV as far as that goes.
Yeah.
I don't know if that baker that you're referring to is even still around. You're talking 15 years ago for the Bozo show.
True.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, my daughter was in, it was all Cub Scouts and Brownies, and my wife was a Brownie leader with a friend, took all the kids there, and my daughter actually got picked to play the Bozo Buckets, and she thought it was no big deal. I'm like, that's crazy. That's a lifetime there. But it was the Bozo Super Sunday show. They taped it, and then they played it on Sunday, I think at noon or something. I don't know. But that was before it crashed and burned. So.
Super Sunday meaning what? That bucket number six had $15 in it?
Well, Bozo stopped being a daily show, and then it became once a week.
What was so super about it on Sunday?
It was super.
No. What, they have communion?
Well, they had to make it sound like they...
If you wanted it?
You know, it was really cool to be only on one day a week.
All right. Yeah, that did a lot of good. Leslie pointed out during the break that another event that went south, when Ernie Banks got his statue, they forgot an apostrophe in Let's Play 2. Remember that? They had to fix that.
The guy had to go there with a chisel.
Yeah.
Put an apostrophe in.
Was Lutz, L-E-T-S, no apostrophe. And that was another event. All right, but then I got a text from somebody who said, wait a minute, there were some things that happened that were just fine over the years. Let me find this text. He mentioned the 63 Bears. Does that count in what I'm talking about here? I'm talking
about the
baseball
Cubs related
stuff. You're focusing on negative events at Wrigley. What about Bears 63 championship? Gale Sayers, 6 TDs. Kerry Wood, 20K. All at Wrigley.
Okay, he did throw, you know, 20 strikeouts.
Yeah.
I got a couple girls' phone numbers at Wrigley.
Well, there's something positive.
Had my first
on my side.
Had my first beer there.
Taxi driver Bob. First time I ever...
Hey, how you doing over there, Myers?
Good. Peed into a trough. Go on.
I was wondering if you'd seen the article about how Sammy Sosa was hoping that he would have been invited over at yesterday's ceremonies at Wrigley Field, and that the Cubs declined him coming over there because he's got bad relations with former players, and I would also imagine a steroid thing with him being on steroids all that time, a majority of the time that he was hitting all those home runs.
Allegedly.
But, yeah, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Well, yeah.
That has not been proven.
I saw him. I went to spring training in 2000. I think it was 2002. And I was there the year before. And I went there, and it was like his neck, every part of his body was like double the size. It was like somebody took an air pump to the guy, and there was no mistaking between Bonds and him, because the Giants also had spring training in Arizona as well, and both those guys just like increased massively in size. There's no question.
Okay, no, there is a question, Bob. If you work out and do good neck exercises and things, you'll get some buff. You'll bulk. You'll get all that good stuff. You'll get up to that kind of tone look.
And then when you don't, you'll suddenly be like you got a pin injected in you, and you'll just deflate.
It can happen.
And then your skin will turn white.
You know, guys, though, the one thing people keep forgetting about Sammy, it wasn't just the steroids. I mean, you remember how
allegedly.
He, right. Well,
was it ever proven?
No.
He was in the Mitchell report.
It was never.
Whose report?
He was in the George Mitchell report.
Oh, George Mitchell.
What was it, 2007?
And his sports machine.
Yeah, well,
okay,
no, I mean,
big
they,
deal.
Yeah.
But he didn't speak. He didn't know how to speak English when he went to in front of the Congress.
Right, but it was not even just that. If you remember back in 2004, at the end of the season, he left the ballpark early before the season was over and embarrassed the team then. If you think back in 2003, when the Cubs made the playoffs, he had the cork bat. I mean, there were a number of incidents with Sammy. This idea that it was just the steroids, and certainly that's a big part of it.
Allegedly,
right. But, I mean, the thing is, he did a lot to contribute to the current relationship between him and the Cubs.
You'll notice Milton Bradley wasn't there yesterday either.
Okay. All right.
He didn't know what time it was. He was supposed to be there. He forgot.
Well, it happens. Hey, Janice, what do you got?
I wish the panel of experts would watch The Cake Boss to see how those elaborate cakes are constructed.
Thank you.
Steve was right on target. Hi, Jim.
Steve was on target about what?
About saying that his family went to see the show and how they're constructed. He went no further, but I think he shares the same fact that I do is about the construction of the cakes. They really work hard. He has a wonderful show. I don't know him, but I am saying about the show and how beautifully they construct the cakes.
All right, nobody's arguing.
Nobody's arguing the cakes are beautiful.
How much cork is in that cake? That's what I asked.
That's the Sammy cake.
That's going to be for him exclusively, the cork cake.
No one's saying that they aren't beautiful.
No, I don't know what her point was. I don't have time to find out. WGN. Jill, you've been hanging on for a while. What's on your mind?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, I think in Milwaukee that throwing out the cake would never fly. We do not turn down free food here. I think that we would have made sure it was cut up and served. Plus, I would think that he would have brought, like, sheet cakes for serving and people to maybe start cutting them up. Because it's sort of insulting. People's been, that's so expensive, all the butter and sugar and travel. It just seems, especially like you said, to just dump it.
All right, well, it's been the Wrigley Field cake was dumped. That's what she's referring to. And she said that in Milwaukee, they don't waste food like we do here in Chicago. It's a cake. It's over.
Done.
It's gone. This is something whose time has come. 7 years ago, when Mike Warren Madden worried about his pet fish, Malcolm, getting bored, he decided to do something about it. He spent weeks at the drawing board designing a unique device, an aquatic perambulator that would allow him to take his fish for a walk.
Sharks.
The pram helped Malcolm live a more exciting life. He was probably the most adventurous fish to ever live in a bowl. I'm asking for $500,000. It's a stroller for your goldfish. Mark Cuban, I'll give you 25% of the action.
I don't like fish, and for that reason, I'm out.
It is pretty much a stroller for your goldfish. You drop his bowl in this.
Oh, you put the bowl in there.
Well, it looks like, or it's already got a built-in bowl, and you pour the fish in there. It's got a handle and wheels, and you just go for a walk with your fish.
So it's not like he's on a leash, really.
But as you read the story, yeah, okay. You kept
idiot
referring to the fish in a past tense, Gary.
Yeah, but he died.
Fish don't live. But what, a few years? A couple of years at the most?
I had one for at least 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Especially those carnival ones. You bring home in the bag.
Yeah, in the sandwich bag.
Yeah.
But this one went out, had a good life, whatever life it led. It was able to go out, get a walk.
Well, can't you just take your bowl out and walk around the yard with it?
I don't know. This is kind of special. Everybody's looking at your fish.
Okay, yeah, are they ever? Yeah.
So it sounds like it's one of those little things that little kids have, like they pull the little cart.
Yeah, it is. It has that kind of look to it where you see those little
Fisher
cars
Price
and
thing.
Stuff, and there's a handle where the parent can push the kid.
Or like the little play vacuum.
Exactly.
With the balls.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'm not giving this guy that much credit. He didn't do that. I mean, I was expecting some kind of a leash, some elaborate water-based.
Okay, why would you need the leash?
Well, you said, didn't you? That wasn't that a tease?
Yeah, you walk your fish.
Walk your fish. How do you think you walk your dog? You don't put him in a boat.
Okay, I don't know how you think, or I guess I do. You know how a fish works? It's got to be in water.
This is my point. That's why I was really interested to see how he would have put a fish on a leash.
I think putting a leash on a fish and then just going out, you'd have about 30 seconds of that.
But it would have been an exciting life.
Fish was dead.
Well, that's why I don't really. For that reason, I'm out.
Yeah, okay. You like fun with names? I do. Here's, I got two stories that are name vortexes. This New Jersey cardiologist racked up $135,000 at a strip club of a bill. And he's trying to stiff scores on this tab, saying he never stepped foot inside the mammary mecca, as it's called here. And if he did, he must have been drugged. He was coherent until he saw the bill, according to the manager of scores, Stephen Hyman. Okay, there's your first one. And then scores as Manhattan Supreme Court lawsuit paints the Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital cardiologist as a repeat customer. So that's where he worked. Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital. He allegedly racked up the bills during four trips to the jiggle joint over a 10-day period last November. It says Yaunin, that's the doctor's name, voluntarily came to plaintiff's place of business and requested that plaintiff provide him with food, beverages, and services. I'm sorry, the plaintiff is the club. Okay. The frisky physician used his American Express card for his house calls for the $135,000 in charges. The cardiologist's father, also a cardiologist, said the bill was on their joint corporate credit card. And then the younger Yaunin apparently had a change of heart, which is interesting because he's a cardiologist, when he saw his bills from the Pleasure Palace.
It sounds to me like he's got to have a excuse for the wife. I was drugged.
Well, $135,000, you're looking for all kinds of excuses, I'm sure.
Well, he was definitely in the champagne room. I mean, he was not just out on the, stuffing dollar bills.
He contested the charges alleging that he was drugged by plaintiff and its employees and thus did not authorize the charges and or he was not at plaintiff's place of business on the aforesaid dates, the suit says, but the club contends that he is on video at all four dates.
Man, that lawsuit takes all the fun out of scores, doesn't it?
The cover charge for the Flesh Emporium is $20, and bottles of champagne can top $1,000 each.
See, I told you, he's in the champagne room.
Meals for individuals are easily around $250 per person. And people can put the cost of in-house script on their cards to tip the dancers. That must be a nice sandwich for $250.
Unbelievable. Delicious.
Delicious sandwich.
The bread melts in your mouth.
Free pie.
I'll tell you what. Best patty melt I've ever had. Here's Leslie. You can text me at 24-720. Louisville Slugger, the official bat of Major League Baseball, has been making professional bats since 1884. They have just released the Wrigley Field 100th Anniversary full-size laser-engraved two-tone bat. The Wrigley 100th Anniversary bat made with two primary Cubs colors, red around the handle and cubby blue around the barrel. The historic bat has the Wrigley Field 100th Anniversary logo and ballpark facts laser-engraved with hand-painted white fill, giving a stunning look to the red and blue bat. The bat is limited to 5,000 individually numbered pieces and sells for $129.95. Call Big Time Bats now at 866-480-BATS. Louisville Slugger and Wrigley are two names associated with baseball for over 100 years. Call Big Time Bats now, 866-480-BATS, or see this and other great baseball collectibles at BigTimeBats.com. The Wrigley Field 100th Anniversary Bat is officially licensed by Major League Baseball. One more story with a name vortex. 40,000 pounds of frozen fries en route from Canada's Prince Edward Island to New Jersey were given the extra crispy treatment as the delivery truck burned in the parking lot of a Walmart in Waterville, Maine. I bet that smelled pretty good, though. The Waterville fire chief's name is David La Fountain in Waterville. So if you're a fireman, that's got all the nice attachments. Waterville, La Fountain, Chief La Fountain. He's a fireman.
Hopefully a big Heinz ketchup truck also crashed at the same spot.
And then you just dig in.
Oh, man.
Dig in. Have you seen that video of the guy? He's taking video of himself next to a train track. Let me explain it. The helpless hapless, I should say, selfie-taking tourist who was the internet sensation over footage of him being kicked in the head by a Peruvian train driver. That's a good name for a band, too. Could be set to earn a substantial fortune from his recent misfortune. Jared Frank from Saskatchewan has been offered thousands of dollars of advertising and licensing opportunities from media companies, keen to take advantage of his hilarious video, which has already attracted more than 23 million YouTube viewers. Have you seen this?
No.
He's standing next to a train, and the engineer of the train puts his foot out and hits him in the head with his foot as the train's going by.
So does he go flying?
No.
Oh.
He kind of,
oh,
it isn't that hard of a kick to knock him down, but it's all on video. Frank signed with Jukin Media, who has told him his video could earn in the range of $2 to $16 per 1,000 views, and he can expect a 70% share of the profits.
Is it that funny?
Well, I mean, it's funny because I always think when I see these reporters standing next to the street just doing regular stories, I'm waiting for one of them to get pummeled or hit or whatever
well,
by somebody.
That's almost happened a few times.
Yeah, but it's funny because
it's true.
It's funny to think that a guy operating a train just stuck his foot out and hit this guy standing next to the track. Yeah, that's funny.
I heard it surmised that he probably saved the kid's life because there are pieces of metal that stick out of the train that far and farther. Oh. And had he not kicked him in the head, the chances are he would have gotten whacked by a piece of metal and could have ended up on the tracks.
Maybe that's why he did it.
Well, yeah, it was a love kick. Who
so he might make as much as $250,000 for this? Why is this amongst all the other videos out there of silliness?
Well, that's my point. Is it
why
is
would
it,
this one get that, a licensing fee?
Is it that funny? I don't know. I'm not getting. Just because we have tape on it again?
It's no more funny than all the other screwy videos out there.
And by the way, Gary, there's also video this week of a politician doing a speech about rail safety, and he was too close to the tracks.
I've seen that one. He's got a chart on an easel, and the train basically blows the easel off the track or blows the whatever he's got on the
no,
easel.
That's funny.
His audio
that's
visual.
Funny. No, that's
yeah.
funny.
Yeah.
I like that one better than this guy.
Derek Colt from Naperville is the money clip winner. You heard that during the break? Yeah, that was the money clip. He wins $720. And Craig, who won the Cubs Sox tickets? I gave those away about an hour ago, almost. Somebody won those. Ted from McHenry is the Cubs ticket winner, Cubs Sox, May 6th at Wrigley. I'll have another pair of those to give away. I can do it tomorrow if you're all here. Are you ready
for
that?
Yeah, I think we'll all be here.
You're going to be here? Okay,
yeah.
Well, huh. Do that tomorrow after.
Throw it out.
Throw it out?
Throw a number.
Pick a time?
Pick a time.
What's a good time? Okay, I'm going to give away a weather radio after 3:30.
When's the best cube?
Okay. How about after 4 o'clock?
All
I'm
right.
Up for a 4 o'clock giveaway.
People are in their cars.
Stand by to rip me off.
They're getting ready to go. WGN made me rich.
It's all about the listenership.
I thought maybe that conductor was sticking his leg out because, like, you know how you put your arm out when you're driving fast and you feel the wind blowing?
Right.
I thought maybe that he was just sticking his leg out to get that little sensation. Like,
it is.
Oh.
It is funny. He sees this mope standing next to the track, so he's thinking, I can reach down with my foot and hit this guy. And it's all on video.
Well, he should be getting some money, too, the conductor.
I think so.
He's the
it's
protagonist in this.
It's his foot.
Yeah.
I wonder how much of this stuff is staged at this point. There's a video. It happens to be rolling when this stuff happens. I know it's not video. I know it's digital, whatever. But we still use video as the common catch.
Record.
Yeah. Somebody's recording. The Super G, here we are.
From the WGN Allstate Showcase Studios.
A man who is known far and wide for his after-dinner talk.
Take that.
It's the 6 o'clock hour.
Gary!
Good evening, America. That kid who climbed inside the wheel well of the Hawaiian Airlines 767 over the weekend and flew from San Jose to Maui now says he spent the night sleeping in the compartment hours before the jet took off.
Please go away. Let me sleep for the love of God.
Maybe they should design the interior of the plane to be more like the wheel well because I can never fall asleep on a plane.
What kind of hotel is this?
A guy in Virginia hopped a fence at a dog park to retrieve a ball and was bitten by a chihuahua.
Hey, are you the little guy making all that big noise?
The victim confronted the dog's owner. The dog owner became agitated and tried to punch and kick the victim, and then went to his car and retrieved a machete.
Look at the size of this thing.
You hear these stories all the time. A guy leaves a party, goes to his car, and gets a gun, a machete, whatever. The only thing I could retrieve from my car would be paper towels or breath mints. I'm Gary Meyer, broadcasting from the Allstate Glass Box on your Blackhawks. Woohoo! Cubs, Nation Mothership, the 720 Dreamliner, the Super G, WGN, Chicago! All right, Tom Skilling wants in, and I'm going to give it to him. Hey.
Hello, Gary. Yeah, the only thing I can retrieve from my car is coinage that slipped
down. Yeah, you got that cup of coins or the cup holder full of coins.
Yeah, yeah, or you've been given change through a window and you've dropped some of it
right
on the floor or something
like
that.
But these people with the weaponry, what's going on?
Why, with a machete over a chihuahua bite?
But it was his dog that bit the guy, so the guy was confronting him, and then that guy that owned the chihuahua was mad. I'm going to go get my machete. Just happened to have it in the car.
Where did this happen? Was this,
overseas? I'll find out.
Yeah,
can I find out where that story was, the chihuahua?
It sounds like it's east. An overseas thing.
No. It was United States. Yeah.
Really? So people have machetes hanging around their homes.
Yeah. Where do you get a machete?
I don't know. What, do you go to Kmart?
I don't know.
I don't know. That's a good point.
At Menards. Machetes for $39.95
right
at Menards.
Yeah, I'm almost inclined to sing the song, but I'll spare you that.
Oh, Tom, your singing voice. I'll tell you, save it for the Christmas album that you put out every year.
Right.
It's always good.
That's right.
So we've, again, cooled off, and it was cooler near the lake. We've got to cover that darn lake. It's just keeping everybody within 5 miles of the lake cool.
Yeah, that's not a bad way to handle it. Some people have said drain it, and that's not good.
Drain it.
We need the water. No,
what kind of idiot says drain it? Just cover the whole thing.
I know. We need that water. I mean, that's
the wind and weather. Fa la 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 la.
You know, looking at Lake Hood, as low as it is outside of Las Vegas, and really, you know, you just look out at that incredible Lake Michigan and think how lucky we are as a resource to have that around. But the idea of covering it would indeed perhaps spare us the cool breezes of spring. How we do that, I don't know.
I didn't have any concept of us covering Lake Michigan, I'll be honest with you, Tom.
Yeah.
I mean, you get your pool covers,
I know,
your hot tub covers and all that, but
right,
you can't get a Lake Michigan cover.
Obviously.
No.
Right.
Yeah. All right, we'll just have to wait until you have some kind of, it's going to warm up the next few days, and then next Monday, Tuesday,
tomorrow,
Wednesday.
Today it warmed up nicely. It was, if you were out by Pontiac today, it hit the low 70s.
Yeah, I was out there. I was out
were
by
you?
Pontiac. Sure, I visit the prisoners.
Well.
All right, so it was warm
Streeter
there.
And had 67. Sugar Grove had, you wouldn't have had to go all that way. You could have gone out to the Fox Valley. Sugar Grove had 67 today. So it was nice.
All right, but it's going to start raining when tonight?
Well, just scattered showers tonight. They'll be over by morning. There'll be a wind shift by morning. And then tomorrow we go into Pacific air. Lots of sunshine. It's going to be a nice day. And then one more wind shift tomorrow night. That's the one that does us in as far as the warm weather goes, because we'll be cool with the winds off the lake and low 50s on Saturday, and Sunday clouds over and the rain starts. This behemoth of a storm system is going to crawl across the area. This is really a strange pattern next week. The jet stream's really wavy, and in that configuration, you develop what are called blocking patterns, which slow the progression of weather systems down. So we're just going to get wave after wave of rain to come in over a multi-day period, and when it's all said and done, we could get some pretty good rain out of this whole thing, like 2 to 3 inches.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the trees are starting to bud. I've noticed that.
It's good.
Yeah, and we get some heat along the way. They're going to pop.
Yeah. I heard from one of my friends who farms and says they have about 5 or 10% of the corn crop in. We had 15% in by this time last year. So
what's
things
are usually at this time of year a good percentage?
I noticed the USDA came out with something like 18%. He said part of the problem, and this is kind of a holdover from the winter chill, is that the seeds don't germinate until the soil temperature goes up to about 55 degrees, and the soil temperatures now are lagging behind that. They're running about 46 degrees at the 4-inch level below the ground. So we've got a, you know, maybe that's one of the residual effects of this cold winter that we've had around the area.
Have you seen the story about limes, that some of these drug cartels are taking over some of these lime fields?
No.
In Mexico, and that's and limes have skyrocketed.
Oh, it's because they're short now, huh?
Yeah.
Did you hear about
that? I thought I heard that.
I did not hear that, Gary. I we had a story, one of our newscasts, about coffee. I guess they have a drought going in Brazil, and that some of the coffee prices are taking off as a result of a shortage of coffee. But okay. The same story said, like, Starbucks, for instance, is a big chain, buys ahead of time, so they're not expecting problems there.
Well, I know you like limes in your gin and tonic.
I do.
On set.
Yeah.
And that could be sure. A blow to your budget on that.
I put lime in my Diet Mountain Dew. By the way, I mentioned to you that I was drinking Diet Mountain Dew, and somebody said, do you know how horrible that stuff is for you, you know, drinking that? And so...
Because?
Well, because of, I imagine, ingredients like hydrogenated or brominated, whatever it is, vegetable oil. Oh, gee. Wow.
Computer agrees.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's diet. It must be good.
Well, of course. That's my line. That's as far as I go in thinking it out. I think I like that yellow number 5. I think that probably is something.
Uh-oh. Whatever that is.
Yeah. Have you ever read what's in some of these drinks that we drink?
That's in Mountain Dew? Yeah. Yellow number 5?
Yeah, I think it's yellow number 5.
Yellow
yeah.
number 5. Ooh.
Yeah.
That's the way it usually comes out, too. Tom, hang on. Leslie's going to take her for a spin.
Okay.
That's right.
That is quite a lineup. Wow.
Have you been there recently?
I have not. Do you know, not only not recently, Gary, I've never gone to Ravinia.
Never.
And I'm embarrassed to say
that.
I'll
tell you what, it's really a gem.
I know. It really is. And everybody who's gone has raved, and I've got to go.
Yeah. So look at that schedule, and maybe
oh yeah,
the Marriage of Figaro would be something
sure.
you could take your picnic basket with
sure.
the violin in it and set up shop
yeah,
out there.
Absolutely, yeah.
How safe are you on the CTA? See fights, drugs, and other outrageous behavior that passengers have caught on video. Tonight's cover story on WGN TV News at 9. Well, that's going to be interesting.
That is going to be very interesting. Who's reporting that, Gary?
Doesn't say. I don't know.
Wow.
You have access to that.
I know.
Easier
I should
than I
know
would.
That, too, but... Wow, that sounds like a good piece.
Does that sound like a Dina Bear or a Julie Unruh? Or
that could be, yeah.
Julian Cruz.
Maybe it'd be Nancy Lou.
Nancy Lou.
Yeah.
Amy Rutledge.
Yeah.
Joni Lum.
Raymond.
Joni's not with us anymore, though.
That, oh. Yeah, well, but, maybe she does freelance. Okay. Maybe that's what she does.
I watch Jackie Bang. It could
Bang.
Be a Jackie Bang one.
All right.
Yeah.
Marcella Raymond.
Yeah, that may be
Frank
Marcella's.
Holland.
Right. Oh.
That one that's very skinny.
Courtney
Taylor, is that her name?
Yeah. And oh, she's so sweet.
Oh, Tom, don't even go there. I mean, we know that.
She really.
But the problem is her waist. You can't stand next to that woman, even if you're 125, you're going to look tubby.
You're just jealous, and
I am.
Like I am.
I've admitted
I know.
It.
I can't.
I mean, she
to
makes
be lovely and
she makes Vera
like
Ellen look like a tubby.
I know.
I don't know what her plan is, how she goes about
I
her
don't
diet,
know
but I'll tell you what, it's.
I bet
it's
just natural. I think when you're that wonderful and thin, it yeah. probably is just. You know,
when you see her, ask her. She's always been this thin, or is yeah. this something she worked at and? Let the rest of us in on her secret.
I will ask her, yeah, because I think it's admirable to be that. We're all fighting to, you know, get down to...
And the camera...
You know,
if the
pull
camera,
our weight down.
Right, if the camera adds 10 pounds, Marone, in person, she must look like she's not even there.
No, she's very healthy looking in
good.
Person. I'm happy right. to say, and she's a lovely colleague. She's fun to work with.
Remember, Tom, I'm saving your Tom Skilling Breaks Bad on 10 people for the stream at some point.
I don't think I could ever do that into a microphone, yeah. you know? It just is beyond my
Don't
nature.
Bottle it up, Tom, because
yeah,
well, you're just going to get an ulcer.
I know. I'll tell
you're
you.
Not going to help yourself.
Well,
let it out.
Saying, when the top goes off, Gary, it's going to be quite a shame
and I
wanna, to see.
I want to have it on either the stream or this show because it's going to be a doozy.
We'll have to have the lawsuit cam here back trained on me.
As
every
long as
moment.
Everything you say is true.
Yeah.
There's no problem in that.
Well, is that true? I don't know.
Yeah. If it's true. Somebody's got to prove it's not true.
I know.
Right? But that's the beauty of the stream. It doesn't matter.
Well, they have to
no
prove
laws.
Your intent.
It's the Wild West of broadcasting.
Yes.
Bring it to the stream. The yellow
Gary, I promise
dye number 5 stream.
When it happens, Gary, I'll give you a call and let you know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Mellow yellow.
Right.
Yellow. Boy, I had forgotten about him.
Donovan?
Yeah.
Sure, you played him.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Whatever happened to him?
I had dinner with him at Mel Markin's.
Did you?
Back in the 70s, yeah.
And now, what kind of guy was he?
Very nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How old was he when he recorded this song we're listening to? Was he young?
Probably 20s.
Really?
Yeah.
19.
19? He was very young. Okay. Yeah.
Is he still around?
Maybe as far as living, you mean?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a couple years ago.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Tom.
Well, he should have been.
He was like the Dave Clark 5 in that he had a hit after a hit after a hit.
Yeah, it's true. You know, I heard the guy who did Oliver, I heard a song that I never realized he had done, and I can't think of the name of it now.
Good Morning Sunshine?
I don't know.
Good Morning Sunshine.
Oh, sure. But there's a song I'd never heard before that he did, which was actually quite different than Good Morning
Oliver?
Sunshine and stuff like that. Yeah, it was really quite un-Oliver-like.
Okay, I would not know Oliver from a bag of yellow dye number 5 on the street.
Yeah, I know. I think I've had too much yellow dye number 5 today or something. I don't know.
That's
maybe
right.
I'm just ready for some warm weather.
We all are.
The brain is going.
Is this it?
Oh, no. Remember this one, though? Yeah.
No.
Oh.
I don't remember this.
Gene.
Oh, Gene. Yeah,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Gene.
Dancing machine.
Oh, our disc jockey days.
Yeah. That's when I would have this on the radio and weep as I drove.
I know.
That's all I need.
Right.
All right, Tom. Tomorrow.
You're
going to
have
3:00.
Me back again, Gary.
Let's do it. Let's keep doing it until we get it right.
All right.
My man.
Heaven knows we have to. I have a ways to go. You're already.
Behind you.
Okay.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All
Super
right,
G. Gary Meyer on the 50,000 Watt Yapper. Following my program, Pete McMurray is broadcasting from Jamato's Wood Pit BBQ in Worth, the Friendly Village. Come for half-priced ribs and your chance to win Aretha Franklin tickets. Well, I hope that's all separate. I mean, now, I don't know if he just decided, hey... Well, I think he had Aretha on the other night.
Yeah, his producer is a huge Aretha fan.
Right. His producer has this giant handlebar mustache, too, if you've seen Scott. And he's a big Aretha fan. It doesn't all add up, but it works for Pete and company. So he's at Jamato's in Worth, and then he's got some tickets for Aretha to give away.
Well, Aretha was a diner owner in the Blues Brothers movie. So there you go.
There's the tie-in. Right.
Better think about the consequences of your actions.
You better think. I got this email from Catherine. It says, I loved your cake conversation today. I'm a cake decorator from the northern suburbs and would love to make a Blackhawks cake.
Ah. That would look cool.
I do this as a hobby for family and friends. I'm more interested in blogging about the experiences than in making money, so it wouldn't cost you a dime. And I went to the website. Cakes look beautiful.
Custom cake art. Maybe her and Dave Novotny should get together.
So then I'll start giving out cakes, Blackhawk cakes, sculptures.
Indian cake sculptures.
Yeah, I'd love to get a Blackhawks cake as they make their run for the Stanley Cup. I won't leave it out. I won't throw it out. It will get eaten properly. I'll treat it with respect. Thank you, Catherine. I'll have Craig get in touch with you.
All the different flavors in the feathers.
Oh.
The face could be chocolate because it's kind of brown.
Well, let's not get into that.
Well, I'm not saying anything. That's
there are
the face.
Sensitivities out there.
But I mean, I'm just saying you could have chocolate. It could be a chocolate cake. There's nothing insensitive about that.
Well, I don't know. But
that's
somebody will think about
the
it.
The face
go,
is.
Oh, yeah, that's insensitive. This story, I always find myself asking this question after I see a story like this. This is not the first time we've heard about this situation. I'll read the story. You can comment if you'd like, 312-981-7200. the Oklahoma Supreme Court stayed the imminent executions of two murderers late Monday, ending a Kafkaesque legal showdown in which courts argued over jurisdiction, even though the prisoners had successfully challenged the legality of the state's secrecy in obtaining lethal drugs. In effect, the court agreed that the condemned have a right to know how they will be put to death and to question at least whether the untested drug combination the state says it will use from sources it refuses to reveal could amount to cruel and unusual punishment. These prisoners have too much access to the law library. Now, I don't care where you stand on the death penalty. That's not my point. This always fascinates me because this has been brewing for a while now, because some companies don't want to be associated with the drugs that they use for these lethal injections because they think and probably would get into some kind of crap storm from people. Why are you doing that? It's
bad
immoral.
PR, yeah.
Right. And
so they stop making them or stuff?
And
or
they
stopped.
Well, they're doing it, but they don't want to be identified. That's what they're talking about here. But this whole cruel and unusual punishment when you're being put to death, I don't understand that, because it's only cruel and unusual if you live and catalog that pain, right? You're going to be dead in a few minutes. Why does that matter? Okay. Here's what these two jamokes did. Listen to this, and if you think that cruel and unusual punishment is not something they should experience. Mr. Lockett received the death penalty for the 1999 kidnapping, rape, and murder of a 19-year-old woman. Listen to this. Oh. Mr. Warner for the 1997 murder and rape of an 11-month-old girl. Okay, oh, so you tell me if cruel and unusual should not be wrapped around these two jamokes.
There's not enough cruel,
that's
and there's not
mean.
Enough unusual.
So they're squawking about cruel and unusual punishment after what they've done. What's going to happen? Even if it's painful for a few minutes, you're going to be dead. So what? But they worked the law library, and now the executions have been stayed for at least a while as they sort all this out.
What, did they find a new cocktail, or they have to make sure
well,
the cocktail
they want to know,
works?
Whatever it is, yeah. To me it seems insane.
Jeez.
Why should it matter if it's cruel and unusual? You didn't care when you were doing these things to these people how cruel and unusual that was, but no, now you want to use the rights of citizens for your benefit.
Well, the argument is that we don't want to stoop to their level.
Okay, so
and kill
that
someone in a bad way.
Yeah, right.
Isn't the anticipation the cruelest part? So wouldn't it be just nice to walk in and drop a dollar on the floor and go, hey, look at that, and then shoot him in the back
Copenhagen
of the head.
Zoo style.
Exactly. Have a piece of rye bread.
Marius the giraffe
Boom.
Style. As
exactly.
We say.
He started eating.
Yeah, here's your final meal. Boom.
Boom.
Next
Goodbye.
Thing, he was a meal.
Cruel and unusual. Yeah, I read what they did, and
11
I thought.
11 months.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not that it matters what age, but that certainly
no,
adds
that
to the
does.
Degree.
No, that does
no,
matter.
No, I'm not saying it diminishes it because you're, in the other case, 19.
Right, no.
But the
but
fact is.
That's depraved.
How insanely sick is that?
Wow.
And they're now worried about their rights. Got to wrap myself in the rights that we all deserve.
Well, that's why so often at these murder trials, the prosecutor shows a picture of the murdered people just to say, hey, you know, jurors, don't forget why this person is here.
I think
because this person's gone.
Don't they always do that? I mean, it's got to be part of the evidence, and you show those pictures, and it's just all part of the
process.
But
not even the murdered body. I mean just a photo, because you're looking at this murderer now who's all dressed up in a tie, who looks like a nice guy, and you start to feel sorry for him.
Yeah, I don't have
And the prosecutors
problem.
Have to remind people that there's a body
okay, I don't think
person here that's not here today.
A nice haircut and a suit and tie is going to change my mind if I know these are the facts.
There's a judge who's taken heat for what he said to a woman that he was sentencing to life in prison because she was being all snarky and laughing at the impact statements that the you know, the dead person's family was making. Mm-hmm. And he pretty much said, you know, I can't wait to sentence you, so you just die in jail. And now they're all getting upset over the fact that he was so cruel to her. And I'm thinking,
that's what I mean. These people have more rights than
murdered.
We do.
More rights than the
hey,
person.
I have feelings
killed.
Too. All right, so I killed an 11-month-old. I mean, come on. I have rights, you scumbag. Here's Leslie.
You should be on the string for this story.
Here's an interesting restaurant in Spain. It's called the Disaster Cafe. You go in there, and while you're having your meal, they dial it up as if you were experiencing a 7.8 magnitude earthquake.
Cool.
Yeah.
Incense around.
Once you're in the cave-like restaurant, grab a seat. Notice the staff wearing construction suits and helmets. No need to worry yet. Order what you want and wait for your meals served in heavier-than-usual dishes. Now, as you try to taste your food, feel the ground suddenly shaking, see the lights go out, and hear the women scream. Chairs, tables, pretty much everything will move. And then choose if you'd either stay, hold on, or panic until everything goes back to normal. Spilled food and drinks and some minor accidents are also considered normal.
Oh, nice.
The Disaster Cafe.
It's pretty funny. I was in a real earthquake one time, and it's scary. It's really scary.
I would
scary.
Imagine it is. Where was this?
This was in Acapulco in the late 70s. And
what
was
magnitude?
6.8. It was a major earthquake.
And
I mean,
where were you when it happened?
I was in our hotel. It was about 5-6 o'clock at night, and we were in our hotel room. It was my parents. I was like, you know, 12-13 years old, and all of a sudden, the whole thing. I think I told this story before. The whole room starts shaking, and my dad had been in an earthquake in Japan when he was in the war, so he says, "Don't panic, earthquake."
Well, earthquake and don't panic. Yeah. I don't know.
So he went.
You can use that in a sentence.
My mom was in a little chair. She fell off the chair. My dad fell on the bed, and I was walking by the closets, and I sort of fell on there, and all the lights went out in the room, and it was like you had a wall of speakers set to the highest it goes with just a rumbling sound. It was scary, and it only lasted a minute or so, but it was so scary.
Only
you
a minute. That's
oh,
a
you believe
time.
Yeah. You, it seems like it.
So
was short.
Your room, the honor bar comped.
Oh well, we
how
had
much damage.
Oh my gosh, our sink cracked. Our walls had cracks, and our balcony had the cement crack.
What did the hotel do? They
nothing.
They move you out? What do you
they
do?
Move us down to a lower floor.
Okay, so all the water from the cracked sink goes down into your room now.
We were on like the 12th floor and they moved us down. But there were people that were on the street. One of our friends that were on this trip, they were walking down the street and a restaurant, all the plate glass windows shattered.
Okay.
I mean, it was major.
Was your Onyx chess set ruined? Did it fall to the ground?
I saved my rook and my bishop.
And your bag of chiclets, was that okay?
That was gone. In fact, you left with the chiclets, but
I don't.
They have a pyramid in Mexico City, the Pyramid of the Sun, and when I climbed up it, on every level there were kids selling chiclets.
Oh yeah, that's what I remember the first time in Mexico, walking down the beach, and there were women with bags of chiclets. For what reason, I don't know. If we're from America, I think we can get chiclets. Is there a chiclet factory there, or that's why they were selling them?
Sadly, that's my memory of this amazing pyramid, is that on every level that I got to, there were kids selling chiclets. That's my memory, more than even what the pyramid looked like.
It's but, Mexico. Forget about it.
Yeah, but that earthquake, and then about for 2 days after that, we had little aftershocks, and everybody would freak out when you would feel a little rumbling.
I would imagine.
But it's yeah.
But you stayed the whole designated
well, what are you
going to
do?
Leave.
In fact, my dad was so unfazed by it. So now it finishes, and we're getting dressed. He thinks we're still going out to dinner. He's like, "You're not going to wear those shoes, are you?"
We've just been in an earthquake,
that's
Dad.
What I said.
I don't think there's a problem with what shoes I have on.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. And he goes, "What are you doing? You're not going to wear those brown shoes."
You could buy probably sandals right on the street. That was the other thing they sold a lot, sandals.
And then when you get down into the, we got down into the lobby, and it was like a movie, an Irwin Allen movie. Everybody was
mess.
Screaming, and it was. And then once you heard a tremor, everybody started running out to the street.
Sure,
but it's scary.
Yeah. I would not have to be forced to be told that it's scary, especially if it's a 7.8, which this restaurant replicates.
Wow, so like, that's even 7. More than 8. The one I was
oh,
in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you want to give the people something for their money.
So now, wait a minute. You said that the soup will fall. What? So what happens to my – am I paying for my meal that
know.
Basically falls off my chair?
I guess, you've agreed to that when you walk into Spain's Disaster Cafe. You pay for a messy, catastrophic meal in a diner that's constantly suffering a 7.8 magnitude earthquake.
Oh, I don't know if I can handle that. Do you remember that movie, Earthquake?
Yeah.
They had it in Sens around?
I saw it at the Ford City Theater with the big speakers.
And they remember how it really did shake the theater. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
I'm sure that didn't add any structural damage to the building for the weeks on end that it ran, right?
Who cares?
Yeah.
Wow. That is, I never thought of.
Felt that vibration right in my seat.
Because most of those theaters were so old.
Yeah. Well, this was many years ago. It was not that old at that time. But,
yeah, but still.
All right. Am I going to talk to Pete from the barbecue joint?
The barbecue
Let me see if I can talk to Pete, see what's going on there in Worth on the Super G.